Are chakras real? Are they relevant? Lucy's guest, Ulrich Adenatha, shares his experience and thoughts on this subject in the Quantum Questions podcast. Lucy is the co-founder of the Quantum Questions and part of the team running the Who Am I series. She's also been a breath coach for over 30 years, leading seminars and running a private practice. Ulrich Adenatha is a trained yoga teacher at the Atman International Federation of Yoga and Meditation. He is a leader and co-founder of the Tantra Temple and author of the book Let's Talk Tantra. He has a vast experience in combining body work with coaching in order to speed up personal and spiritual development.
Welcome, Ulrich, to the Quantum Questions podcast. I'm so happy to have you here about this subject on chakras, because it's something that I know is extremely important in understanding what a human being is. And at the same time, I know very little about them. And I'm sure many of the listeners also don't have real clarity on this subject. And I know you've worked with chakras for 20 years, maybe, is it? I don't know. And I have done a lot of deep inquiry into it, as well as practical workings with them. So maybe we should begin straight away with the question, what do you understand a chakra to be?
Yes, well, thank you very much for having me, Lucy, and for opening this whole topic about chakras, because indeed it is a topic which has, in my opinion, a very high relevance for anybody who wants to evolve, who wants to grow, who wants to learn about themselves. So I can describe a little my journey when I started, not 20, but 21 years ago, to be more exact. I didn't know anything about chakras or yoga or what we generally call subtle energy and energy bodies. But at that point, I started a yoga class, and there I was introduced to the chakras and learned actually theoretically a lot about them. And then it was kind of up to me to start feeling them through the practice we did. And I have to say that was a huge eye opener for me, because until then, my body had been something physical purely, and my mind had been something mentally purely, and there was like no connection between body and mind. And I started to discover that connection, and I started to realize how everything is actually connected. And that was a huge eye-opener, because suddenly I started to understand myself. I started to understand why some things for me were difficult, for example, in human relations, or why other things were easy for me, why I sometimes felt as if I did, rather than just what somebody said, but more deeper, like what actually is happening inside of me. And I learned a lot through the chakras, I can say. And basically the chakras are energetic centers, energetic connecting points. Our whole body and energy system and energetic bodies are intertwined with energy channels. And then there are some major meeting points of all these energy channels, which we call energy centers. And we have many of these energy centers, but there are seven of them that we normally focus on a lot, the main energy centers, the main chakras. Actually, to be more precise, there are six main chakras and then a seventh, which is considered to be even more than a chakra, the crown center, at the top of the head is considered to be much more than a chakra, and actually in a way a synthesis of them all, we can say. But the other six are somewhat more approachable. And in these energy centers, ideally, they should be fully awakened, all of them, meaning that energy can flow freely through them. When energy can flow freely through a chakra, then we experience well-being and well-functioning at the level that that chakra is connected with, both in the physical body, but also in our mind and our emotions, and even in our soul. So if one of them is out of order, so to say, meaning if one of them is blocked or unbalanced, then the energy will tend to flow, not freely, but through the unbalance somehow, only in one side. It's not so geometrical, but let's just imagining that the energy is only flowing in one side, and then it's only those qualities and abilities that gets energized while the rest doesn't get any energy. And thus we experience problems physically, possibly even disease or malfunctioning of an organ connected with that chakra. Or it could be we experience mentally that some things are really, really challenging, even though for other things they seem perfectly normal. Maybe we should get a little more practical, or just give a few examples. For example, the fear of speaking in public is something that many people are facing. And nevertheless, if you learn what chakras are involved and how you allow energy to flow freely through those chakras, that fear will also disappear and you will feel confident and relaxed speaking in front of a crowd. Or it could be an unbalance at the sexual level, where some people experience somehow fear and inhibition and feeling that lovemaking is very difficult or challenging or somehow, difficult, meaning energy flow in an unbalanced way through the sexual chakra. Whereas other people, they are somehow too dominated by the sexual energy. They don't have any inhibitions. On the contrary, they will, I almost said it, do anything to anybody, because their sexual energy flow in an unbalanced way through their sexual chakra. Or the heart chakra, which is placed here in the middle of the chest. So it is connected with the organs we have in the chest, but as well connected with our feelings, human feelings like love, altruism, what's that word
at the moment? Empathy?
Yeah, empathy, but I meant generosity and friendship, and generally, you know, when we say you give from your heart, in order to give from your heart without expecting anything in return, whether it's gifts or love or your presence and time, it requires your heart to be somewhat open. And when we talk about an open heart, we talk about the heart chakra open. We don't mean the physical heart. It's more open than other people's physical hearts. We talk about the heart chakra. And actually, this is just one way where the chakra system is somehow, or at least the understanding of the chakras, are weaved into our language when we talk about an open heart. Or sometimes we talk about an open mind, for example, which is related to the mental chakra, the so-called third eye in the middle of the forehead.
What this might seem a really silly question, Ulrich, but you are talking about these chakras as if they are real. And What makes you feel that they are actually real and not just a metaphorical thing that maybe is not actually accurate? What gives you that certainty?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was quite skeptic in the beginning as well. But the more I studied, I found out that there are actually many different spiritual systems, and many of the yogis and other spiritual practitioners who discovered the chakras independently. And for me, that was a clear sign that probably there is something about it, rather than it was, if it was, let's say, one guy who invented a system and said, this is how it is, I would tend to be more skeptical. But because it was like coming from so many directions, the more I studied, I realized that there are many different systems who talk about chakras and energy centers. So I started to trust it enough to go into the practice with an open mind to verify it by myself. So that's what I've been doing the last more than 20 years. It is actually to verify all the theory and like all the ideas I picked up by my own practice. So whereas in the beginning, some of these chakras, they were very difficult to feel, others were somewhat easier. For example, we have a chakra here in the throat. We can call it the throat chakra. In the beginning, when I started practicing yoga, and my teacher talked about this energy center, and we did some exercises to awaken it, I couldn't feel a thing, nothing really, like nothing is happening. And of course, that would make the mind somewhat more skeptic. But because when we practiced the techniques for awakening the third eye, this super lucid laser-like mental concentration, I could feel a lot. Like it started, you know, tingling, almost burning here in my forehead when we practiced these techniques. And I felt also my mind. It wasn't just like a physical sensation. I felt also my mind became like super focused and much less distracted when I was practicing those techniques. So I took this experience and I said, okay, it might be that I don't feel everything yet, but the fact that I feel something from what my teacher is talking about, maybe that's a sign that the other parts are not awakened yet, or I can't really connect with them yet, but I will just keep on with the practice and see if it doesn't come by itself. And actually, that kind of skepticism is something I'm also encouraging my students nowadays to have, to not reject something just like that because your mind doesn't want to believe it. But on the other hand, not just to swallow the things raw and say, okay, if you say it's like that, I believe you. But to have this healthy skepticism where you kind of say, okay, that sounds interesting, but let me test it. And then you practice the techniques, you do those exercises that are supposed to awaken that chakra, or in connection with that chakra, awaken those human qualities in you. And then you test it to see, did it work? Now, I was doing these techniques for a month. Do I feel an improvement? Is something happening? If so, it might be true what I was told in the beginning. If not, let me do something else instead.
So, is this like intuitive? Have you actually seen them? Because I know some people can see these things, can't they? I mean, because I did actually look up what the word chakra meant. Amazingly, I didn't know. And it said wheel. And I've heard that some people say that the chakra goes in one side, comes out the other side. Have you actually had the sensation of seeing a chakra? Or is it all just this feeling? Or can you see them? Maybe that's not even true either.
Yeah. So I don't claim to have clairvoyant abilities to see energies and to see chakras and to see colors in the aura and so on. But I have to say that after practicing so many years and teaching so many people and observing people, some of my students over years, developing and transforming and actually awakening the chakras and thus also transforming themselves as a human being, I've started to be able to see more and more from people's behavior and body language and their choice of words and even like little subtle reactions. I never studied body language as such, but I started to notice that I know more and more intuitively just by looking at a person and see how they behave, what chakras are possibly more awakened or more blocked or balanced or unbalanced. I'm working a lot with massage and therapy, and there, of course, I use it as well. When a new client is coming in the door, we have a consultation, a talk, but I also make mental notes in the back of my mind of how I can adapt a massage to fit to that person specifically, because I notice there is a blockage here and an unbalance there and so on, just from talking. So it's not like a superimposed colorful image of all the chakras blinking, I see. But nevertheless, I have a quite clear feeling of that person's energy system.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is that we all have the chakras. So they're all the same for all of us. So we can say the blueprint of the energetic system contains the same chakras for all of us human beings. Exactly like we can say the blueprint of the physical body is the same. Yeah, we have a figure with two legs, two arms, one head. Then we have a human being. But then we all look different, right? We're all different sizes, shapes, colors. Nobody is exactly the same, even though the blueprint is the same. And with the chakras, it is the same story. We all have the same chakras, the same energy systems. It's not like some people have five, another have nine chakras, or some energy channels that only some people have. We all have the same system, but the individual awakening of that system is unique. It's unique for each human being. So all the possible combinations of these chakras being more or less open, more or less in balance or not, that gives the individual human being. And that's why we all react different to the same experience or have different opinions and different qualities. All that is related to the awakening of the chakras.
Yes, or we can say it's
reflected in the energy system, in the awakening of the chakras.
We're pretty extraordinary beings, aren't we, really?
Yes. Yes. And the more you study, the more you go into these things, the more extraordinary it seems.
So, you know, a lot of people also, when it comes to chakras, want to know about these blockages you briefly mentioned. And I'm just interested, is there any advantage to having a blocked chakra, which might seem a strange question, but is there like a kind of like a safety valve that maybe it needs to be blocked for some reason, or is it always something that needs to be unblocked?
That's an interesting question. I would say no. There is no reason for our soul in its journey of evolution to have a blocked chakra. That being said, there might be social conventions, like if you live in a society where there are certain taboos or dogmas, it might be an advantage to have a blocked chakra in order to fit into that society. For example, if you lived in the times of Queen Victoria, where sexuality was very inhibited somehow, to have a fully awakened sexual chakra might cause you a lot of trouble. Or if you would live in a society where there is a clear setup of hierarchy and dominance. Like the leader is the boss and everybody else is just subordinating. It might be an advantage to have a blocked Manipura chakra in the belly, because that would cause you to easier just subordinate. But these are like social conventions or cultural setups. From the point of view of the soul, we need to evolve, and for that we need all the chakras in full blossom.
So when you're working with someone that has, you know, that's got some blocked chakras, do you kind of start from the bottom up, or is it just you would choose the most block? How would you begin that unblocking or helping someone unblock?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question, and it depends a little on how much time we have. If I was to teach somebody, like I do in some of my yoga courses, about the chakras, I start from the bottom up and I teach about the root chakra and so on all the way up, so that they have all the information. If I'm working personally with somebody, I would more like identify where are the blockages or the unbalances and then start working on them. And then I would probably approach it more from the bottleneck principle. Because, you know, a bottleneck is somehow showing where the energy is the most blocked. And by opening that chakra, it could cause like a lot more energy to flow through all of the chakras. So that would be a more efficient and direct approach. If you already know which is the chakra most blocked, work on that.
And what can people do for themselves to unblock chakras? Like maybe there are some listeners today that don't do yoga, they don't get your kind of massage, which helps with this. What could they do at home? Is there anything you can do alone?
Well, there's a lot of things you can do alone. I have to say, yoga is for me the very best. Breathing exercises to awaken the chakras, also great. Energy work in general, like all kind of typically oriental methods or systems of energy work, Chai Chi, Qigong, all these practices, they're also good for unblocking the chakras. And actions and thoughts related to the blockages, meaning that if there is something in your life that you are afraid of doing or afraid of saying, and you can see that other people, they don't seem to have that problem, at least not the way you have it, that might be a key for you for something that would help you a lot. Very often the things we fear the most are also our biggest chances of evolution. Like we can grow the most from the things that apparently are the most terrifying. So that maybe that's a little bit of a radical approach, but that could be one way to unblock. Because if there is something we are really afraid of, it's obviously that there is a blockage. To approach it from more angles would be even more efficient. For example, if you realize that your heart is somewhat blocked, you can feel lonely even if you're around people. You don't seem to find the love of your life, and you have difficulties really like connecting heart to heart. When things get a little more intimate, you kind of back out. If you realize that, don't, you know, hide alone in your own apartment and only see people on a screen. You have to get out there. You have to meet people. You have to hug somebody. You have to connect and talk about your feelings rather than just your schedule. That would be actions to help opening the heart. give gifts, be generous, say compliments and beautiful words to people, express how you feel for them. These are actions. And then if you can combine that with thoughts, meaning to stop yourself every time you have negative thought patterns about how you are not worthy of being loved and how nobody wants you and how you are so alone, or whatever negative patterns are running there in your mind, stop them when you discover them and replace them with good thoughts. You know, sending love to people, be grateful for the people who helped you in your life, the people who taught you important lessons and so on. And then if you can even combine that with energy work, doing some yoga exercises for opening the heart, there's a classic yoga posture called the cobra, where you lie on your belly and then you stretch your arms. So you kind of curve your spine upwards and open the chest very much. This is working very good on opening the heart chakra and allowing more energy to flow freely through the heart chakra. And then if you can combine it with breathing exercises where you visualize that you're breathing in and out through the middle of your chest rather than, you know, through the nostrils, just to visualize air flowing in directly in your chest and coming out, you can kind of take in new energy with every inhalation and exhale all the excess, all the waste, all the blockages, all the things that hold you back. You just exhale it out there. Then suddenly you have a very powerful practice combining your actions and your thoughts with actual energy work.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And really, in a way, what you're saying is that your life in some ways is reflecting where the blockages are. So if, you know, you need to take action to speak or something because things aren't being expressed, and this will all be reflected in your life. So yeah, that's beautiful.
And very often our blockages are also the things we can't really see ourselves, or that are very difficult to see. Rarely people, they just naturally have that total honesty with themselves, that they realize this is my weak spot. And for that reason, when I teach about the chakras, we go through all the chakras, and that means we also look at human life from all kind of angles. And then the participants, they can get a kind of overview, because they are in a way forced or strongly encouraged to look at themselves and their own lives from that point of view, from that point of view. For example, then we look at how are you with your vitality? How is your vital life force? How much energy do you actually have for all the things you want to do? Do you tend to run out after a while of energy, or do you have enough stamina to push on to finish everything you start? How are you with erotic energy and creativity? Is that something which is difficult or inhibited, or you feel just perfect and you're very open? How are you with willpower, determination, taking firm decisions and following through with your actions? Or do you tend to procrastinate and start a lot of things that you never finish? Look at that. How is your heart? How is your love? How is your relationship to other people? Do you have happy, healthy relationships with your family, your friends, your lovers, your colleagues, your children? Or do you tend to feel either lonely or holding back or somewhat disconnected from people? How are you with communication? How well can you express what you feel inside on the outside? How well do you communicate with people? How well do you express yourself? Do you tend to hold back and somewhat maybe being a little shy, and your voice is very thin and people, they hardly hear what you're saying when you're talking? Or are you more like saying what you feel and it comes out with a lot of power? How are you with like art and these more sublime things in life, like music and poetry, are these domains that are actually touching your soul, or is that just completely blocked for you? How is your mental focus? Really, that one, most people realize, oh, my mental focus could be better. Yeah, but actually, if you would train your mental focus, you would improve every other thing in your life, because everything you do requires mental focus. Just this talk we are having here now, imagine I would get distracted, you know, and I would trail off and start thinking of something. Wait. And, you know, it wouldn't be very efficient to have a talk like that. And the way we read, the way we study, the way we communicate, sometimes trying to speak with somebody while we text somebody else on the phone, that's just distraction. And it makes us very less, like, much less efficient than we could be. How is your relationship with God or the Absolute? Do you have a belief, like, throughout human history, faith and belief have been part of human life? I'm not talking about religions, like established religions. I'm talking about you and your personal belief. What do you believe in? Why are you here? What's going to happen when you die? Are you part of something much bigger than yourself, or is it just you and all the rest completely disconnected from each other? Like, looking at yourself from all these different angles and start to realize, where is my bottleneck? Where could I actually improve my entire life a lot by just, you know, turning this knob somehow, just by improving a little bit my heart and my love? Actually, it would reflect in my whole life, in all my interaction with other people, and even with myself, the way I love myself, the way I feel intimate with myself, the way I understand myself.
Yeah. I think all that self-reflection requires humility and courage, doesn't it?
Yes. And a lot of honesty with yourself.
Yeah. Not easy, but then the rewards are so amazing, mm-hmm. aren't they?
Exactly.
Look, I'm also curious, you know, for myself, and hopefully the listeners are too, a little bit about, in a way, the anatomy of a chakra. Like, it's called a wheel. And so I'm curious about what the actual chakra kind of is. I mean, physically is the wrong word, I suppose. And also what connects one chakra to another chakra. What's the connecting bit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, they're called wheels from their spinning motion. But again, very few people have the clairvoyant capacity to actually see the chakras. Me included, I can't see the actual chakras. So talking about how they spin and what way they spin and if they're entering here or there, it might not be so relevant, but more relevant is to know that they are all connected to the central energy channel, which is going from the base of the spine to the top of the head. So when we are sitting in a meditation posture with the spine straight, actually we are sitting on the root, and the crown is our highest point. So, and between the root and the crown, there is this main energy channel. And then the chakras are connected to that one, all of them. The main energy channel is also kind of inside the spinal column when we talk about the physical. So we can focus on the spinal column as the central energy channel. And this is what is connecting the chakras. A bit like an elevator connecting the seven floors in the temple, the body, which is the temple of our soul. We can say it in a poetic way like that. So this elevator is able to move the energy from one chakra to the other. And also this is the channel through which our consciousness is descending through these chakras and making us aware of them. So actually, to move energy from one chakra to the other, we need to reach the center, and from there we can send energy up or down. Mostly we'd be interested in sending the energy upwards, because in the majority of people, the lower chakras are more active and more dominant than the upper chakras. And ideally, we would want them all seven to be, like active in a balanced way, like energy distributed on all the levels. But most people have the majority, like the dominance on the lower chakras. We can see that from people's actions and their thoughts and ideas about the world. One way to start identifying the location of the chakras is to practice some techniques for awakening the chakra and then focus the attention in that area. Actually, the most important feature of starting to identify the chakras is to learn how to focus on the inside. Very often we are way too focused on the outside, on what is happening outside our body, either in the society or in our immediate surroundings. But to actually close the eyes and start feeling what's going on inside me, that is the first step in starting to discover the chakras. And then with that discovery, we can sometimes feel energy as vibration or a tingling sensation or the perception of hot or cold. It's different from person to person how we perceive energy, also depending on what kind of energy we feel. But the point is, or the sign is, when something is happening that doesn't necessarily have a physical explanation. Like if I suddenly feel lighthearted, what does that mean to feel lighthearted? It means I feel as if my chest is expanding a little. I feel more light in here, almost as if I have a hot air balloon in my chest that lifts me a little bit here from the chest. That is a sign something is opening in the heart chakra. Or if we feel, oh my God, I got a lump in my throat, I can hardly speak, you know, that's a sign of something blocking in the throat chakra. Or if we feel this kind of almost burning sensation in the belly, when we feel to act and we are doing something, or we have a strong opinion about something, that's a sign of energy moving in the chakra, in the abdomen, the chakra related to our personality and our ego. If we feel something tingling between our legs and we get erotically aroused, that's a clear sign that the sexual chakra is activated. So there are some of these pointers, and the more we feel inside, how does it actually feel? If we would stop in the middle of whatever we're doing, just to take a few seconds and feel, how does it actually feel inside me right now? We would start to be able to make the beginning of a chart of our own energetic system. Like we would start to feel, okay, this is how it feels when my heart is opening. This is how it feels when my sexual chakra is awakening. This is how it feels when my mental chakra is activated. And the more we do that, the more we can start to identify the chakras and in time awaken them at will. This is where we would love to move towards. For example, when you practice yoga, you might do it in order to feel good, in order to stretch your body, in order to awaken your energy, in order to purify and open your chakras. But you don't do that in order to get good at yoga. You do that in order to get good at life. And if you have a certain awakening of a chakra through a yoga practice, enough times, you'd be able to go and act in the world and awaken that chakra when you need it. Meaning before you're going on a romantic date, you activate your heart so that as much love can pour through you as possible. If you go to ask your boss for a raise in salary, you might awaken your determination and your self-confidence strongly before you go to that interview. If you want to study for an exam, you might awaken the mental chakra intensely so that you can focus for hours on end, rather than, you know, just letting it be maybe a good day, maybe not. Actually, you are the master of your own energy when you know how to work it.
Yeah, this is so important because, you know, everyone has lots of daily problems. And some people might think, well, what's the point of even looking at chakras? I've got enough on my plate. But actually, it is so relevant as a way to alleviate problems and to work out what the connections are. So once you start unblocking these particular chakras, then the external world then will begin to change, from what I understand.
Exactly. Imagine you have a car that doesn't function properly, and you don't have any mechanic around, and you're just, you know, doomed to drive around in this car that sometimes works, sometimes doesn't, sometimes it can only go 20 miles per hour and that's it. It would make sense to start studying how an engine actually works so that you can do something about it yourself. And understanding about the chakras is learning about human life, to find out how does it actually work to be a human being, and how do I make the best out of this body and energy and mind and so on that I have been given. So even though it might seem, okay, I'm busy, I'm stressed, I have enough of my plate, why should I study something else? Well, studying exactly chakras and human life, that can help you so much in all kinds of domains.
It is crazy, isn't it, how we go through life muddling along, and yet there are actually these fundamental truths, universal truths about a human being that can help us.
Exactly. I mean, if it was up to me, we would study these things in elementary school.
Yeah.
I mean, to get it in from an early age, so that at least you know that you can do something about it. Whatever challenges you face in life, you have tools to face it with, tools for transformation. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your wisdom today, Ulrich. And
you're welcome.
I think just people beginning to put a little bit of awareness in maybe the places where the chakras are, which anyone can look up online, that in itself will awaken some energies, I imagine, in those areas, just having some awareness of them.
It's a start.
As a start, yeah.
Yeah.
But no, you've given us so much beautiful wisdom. Thank you so much for coming on this podcast. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we close?
I think this was a very good tour of the chakra system. I mean, it's a lifelong study and experience. Now, I've been going for 21 years, and I can't say that I've finished, that now I know all there is to know about it. But that's how human life is. We continue till the end, meaning to constantly transform and evolve and improve yourself. That's part of human life. After all, we are put here to learn. So why not to get started? Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me, Lucy.
Maybe we'll have a round two on the chakras, go a little bit deeper into it.
Yes, let's hear maybe some questions arise from this talk, and then we can deal with them.
All the best to you. Bye-bye.
If you'd like to know more about the quantum questions, please go to the website www.thequantumquestions.com.